Well, good afternoon. It's May 15th, 2023. It's 15:36 hours Eastern Daylight Time. Ward Green here with you. This is a song from 1951. Nat King Cole singing Too Young. Wonderful. Our article, Wild Road, Part 2, Chapter 9, and Paragraph 4, Little Children. Let's just read it and don't worry too much about it. All these things are meant for reference. We'll be referring possibly to them later. We'll be able to refer to them later if we need to. Or it's a reference work, which means we can use it as though it were a book on our bookshelf, although nowadays it can be on our computer. And whenever we want to or need to, we can refer to it. That's what a reference is. Of the Theban kings from Cincellus, recorded, he says, by Apollodorus and possibly obtained by Eratosthenes in the first place, gives 1124 years as well as 1076, as stated above, for their full duration from the time of the dispersion, which would have ended about 1621 from 2745, the dispersion, as counted from the very event. Too late to allow for the 108 years, quote-unquote, of Hyksos kings. Unfortunately, the Hyksos dynasty 15 is not known very accurately, especially at its beginning, about 1641 or 1640. And the beginning date is dependent on the Turin list. Assuming the 1640 date to be right, and this is not at all certain, we add 1124 years to 1640 to total 2764. The elegance of this date seems immediate only from it being 27 years before 2737 BCE, as 2765 before 2738. The death of Osiris on Hathor 17 in 2738 BCE gets some preference in being near full moon, i.e. the start of a waning moon corresponding to the 14 pieces, as do the 15 as do the 57 years from 2738 to 2681 for Thoth in Africanus. But the preference is strongly dependent on various dates. Strongly dependent. Included is the elapsed 815 years to 1923 BCE, Joseph. If Old Kingdom Egypt began in 2681 with Djoser, BCE, 2681, it is the mixed-up time before that that has troubled us. Where did Sothis rise in Egypt in 2765, we wonder? In order for the Sothic rising to fall on Thoth 1, it must be July 15, Julian, in that year. So, therefore, that means it must have fallen between Thebes and Memphis. We know that from the study of the rising of Sothis. It is so dependent on the visibility, or the Arcus Visionis. For an Arcus Visionis of 7.6 degrees, that is, of angle, right, above the horizon, it's near, or the 7.6 can be either above the horizon or it can be the difference between the angle of the moon compared to the sun. Even if the sun is slightly below the horizon, still the difference is 7.6. It's near Illahun, which is the place of the oasis and the pyramids and the Sphinx. For worse visibility, it should then be further south, not so far as Thebes or this being the name of a city, but very near to Minya. Minya is a city also. This very notably is very similar to the name Menes. The name Minya and the name of Armenia is very similar also. The name of Armenia itself owes its origin to this same word Men or Minya. Minyan, plural Minyi, as the title or official name for the minions or votaries of the patriarch Noah, as moon, it's like the word moon, satellite of the earth. The planet earth has a satellite called the moon. Since the ark had landed in the mountains of Ararat in Armenia, and Men later spread to Egypt, the name Minya for Egypt's founding city would be highly appropriate and is here confirmed by the rising of Sothis in 2765. BCE in Minya, which indeed did fall near Minya, Thoth 1, July 15th, 2765. Let's just let that digest for a while and let's go on to our study for today. Remember what Jesus said at John 6 and 63. The flesh is of no use at all, he said. But what did Jesus say at John 6 and 53? He said, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in yourselves. Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man. He that feeds on my flesh, in 54, of course, he goes on to say, has everlasting life. But it includes also drinking the blood, but he's not talking about literal eating of flesh and drinking of blood, of course. But he is talking about flesh in this other way. He's not saying the flesh is of no use at all in that context. So we should be careful about taking things out of context. That says, but there's another thing too. Let's look at this other proverb now for today. It's Ecclesiastes 5 and 6. Little children, do not allow your mouth to cause your flesh to sin. So that sounds like the flesh is of some use in that context, doesn't it? We need to be careful with our words. That the Holy Spirit resides within our flesh. The life-giving spirit that is our breath goes in and out of our lungs. And that gives us life. So obviously the flesh is of some use. The original purpose for mankind was to inhabit the earth and live forever. Adam and Eve expected to enjoy that privilege when they began on earth. And Jesus wasn't ignorant of that. Jesus didn't expect that everyone was going to go to heaven and just be a spirit in heaven and there would not be any humans on earth because everyone had died and gone to heaven. That wasn't what Jesus believed, since he knew the scriptures and he knew about Adam and Eve and the hope to live forever on earth. So obviously the flesh is of some use, very much so. So we should be careful about the context. Now, let's begin our study for Exodus for today, which is, let's see, we're at 24. Moses is giving the law, right, from Jehovah to the Israelites. And this is the continuation from yesterday. And to Moses he said, go up to Jehovah, you and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the older men of Israel, and you must bow down from a distance. And Moses by himself must approach Jehovah. But they should not approach. And the people should not go up with him. Then Moses came and related to the people all the words of Jehovah and all the judicial decisions. And all the people answered with one voice and said, all the words that Jehovah has spoken, we are willing to do. Accordingly, Moses wrote down all the words of Jehovah. Then he got up early in the morning and built at the foot of the mountain an altar and 12 pillars corresponding with the 12 tribes of Israel. After that, he sent young men of the sons of Israel, and they offered up burnt offerings and sacrificed bulls as sacrifices, as communion sacrifices to Jehovah. Then Moses took half the blood and put it in bowls, and half the blood he sprinkled upon the altar. Finally, he took the book of the covenant and read it in the ears of the people. Then they said, all that Jehovah has spoken, we are willing to do and be obedient. So Moses took the blood and sprinkled it upon the people and said, here is the blood of the covenant that Jehovah has concluded with you as respects all these words. And later in the New Testament, we see that it says that no covenant is to be concluded without the death of the covenanter also. And Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the older men of Israel, proceeded to go up. And they got to see the God of Israel, and under his feet there was what seemed like a work of sapphire, flagstones, and the very heavens for purity. Like the very heavens for purity. They saw the God of Israel, and he did not put out his hand against the distinguished men of the sons of Israel, but they got a vision of the true God and ate and drank. Jehovah now said to Moses, come up to me in the mountain and stay there, as I want to give you the stone tablets and the law and the commandment that I must write in order to teach them. So Moses and Joshua, his minister, got up, and Moses went up into the mountain of the true God. But to the older men he had said, you wait for us in this place until we return to you. And look, Aaron and Hur are with you. Whoever has a case at law, let him approach them. Thus Moses went up into the mountain while the cloud was covering the mountain. So we see there were many legal cases in those days because they couldn't even go up into the mountain without assigning judges to judge the legal cases. Now, we see why a little bit more here, too, because Moses stays in the mountain for quite a while. But Jehovah's glory continued to reside upon Mount Sinai, and the cloud continued to cover it for 6 days. At length, on the seventh day, he called to Moses from the midst of the cloud And to the eyes of the sons of Israel, the sight of Jehovah's glory was like a devouring fire on the mountaintop. Then Moses entered into the midst of the cloud and went on up the mountain. And Moses continued in the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. A lot of things in that particular chapter are very rarely talked about in modern day Christianity. The idea that people can see God, because in other places in the scripture it says that they couldn't see God. God wouldn't let them see him because he was afraid that they would die if they saw him, and here they did get to see him. This is very exceptional. It's very rare. That fact of people seeing God. So that makes Exodus 24, that's the end of Exodus 24, that makes it special. From that fact alone, it's also important because it's part of the giving of the law of Moses. It was given by Jehovah through Moses to the sons of Israel. Okay, so Luke 15. Now, where are we with Jesus? Now all the tax collectors and the sinners kept drawing near to him to hear him. Consequently, both the Pharisees and the scribes kept muttering, saying, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." And he spoke this illustration to them, saying, "What man of you with 100 sheep, on losing one of them, will not leave the 99 behind in the wilderness and go for the lost one until he finds it? And when he has found it, he puts it upon his shoulders and rejoices. And when he gets home, he calls his friends and his neighbors together, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, because I've found my sheep that was lost.' I tell you that thus there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner that repents than over 99 righteous ones who have no need of repentance. Or what woman with 10 drachma coins, if she loses one drachma coin, does not light a lamp and sweep her house and search carefully until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls the women who are her friends and neighbors together, saying, 'Rejoice with me, because I have found the drachma coin that I lost.' Or if we lose one of our watches, in my case, I'm starting to be afraid I'm going to lose one of my watches because I have too many of them, so that I could actually lose one of them. Where's that watch? I have, you know, eight or some number in excess of eight, possibly. Thus I tell you, joy arises among the angels of God over one sinner that repents. Then he said, 'A certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the part of the property that falls to my share." Then he divided his means of living to them. Later, after not many days, the younger son gathered all things together and traveled abroad into a distant country, and there squandered his property by living a debauched life. When he had spent everything, a severe famine occurred throughout that country, and he started to be in need. He even went and attached himself to one of the citizens of that country, and he sent him into his fields to herd swine. And he used to desire to be filled with the carob pods which the swine were eating, and no one would give him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many hired men of my father are abounding with bread, while I am perishing here from famine? I will rise and journey to my father and say to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy of being called your son. Make me as one of your hired men." So he rose and went to his father. While he was yet a long way off, his father caught sight of him and was moved with pity. And he ran and fell upon his neck and tenderly kissed him. Then the son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy of being called your son. Make me as one of your hired men." But the father said to his slaves, "Quick, bring out a robe, the best one, and clothe him with it, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fattened young bull, slaughter it, and let us eat and enjoy ourselves, because this my son was dead and came to life again. He was lost and was found." And they started to enjoy themselves. Now his older son was in the field, and as he came and got near the house, he heard a music concert and dancing. So he called one of the servants to him and inquired what these things meant. He said to him, "Your brother has come, and your father slaughtered the fattened young bull because he got him back in good health. But he became wrathful and was unwilling to go in. Then his father came out and began to entreat him. In reply, he said to his father, 'Here, it is so many years I've slaved for you, and never once did I transgress your commandment. And yet to me you never once gave a kid for me to enjoy myself with my friends. But as soon as this your son who ate up your means of living with harlots arrived, you slaughtered the fattened young bull for him.' Then he said to him, 'Child, you have always been with me, and all the things that are mine are yours. But we just had to enjoy ourselves and rejoice, because this your brother was dead and came to life, and he was lost and was found.'" That's Luke chapter 15, and that's the end of today's study. I love you. Have a wonderful day. I hope you enjoyed this. Thank you for listening and watching. The God of gods, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, Jesus, may he be with you in all that you do. May the strength that Jehovah gives us remain with us. And for me, it's Dusty and Gully saying bye for now.